Have you ever gone exploring off the beaten trail? You gingerly hack your way through dense underbrush, making sure to not trip over any exposed roots, all the while breathing in the crisp, fresh air and taking in the calming sounds of undisturbed wildlife. As you romp around the forest, you feel a sense of awe and pride, knowing that where you are is untouched by mankind. Yet, as the sun begins to set, that feeling of adventure and excitement bleeds into apprehension. Suddenly, you don't feel as confident as you had, and you begin to sense a presence pushing you away. Though that feeling is purely instinct taking over, compelling you to head home before nightfall, you can't help but look over your shoulder every few moments, checking to see if you are being watched. Paranoia is part of the deal when you explore unknown territory, and it grows in strength as the moon creeps higher and higher into the sky. Upon crossing the edge of the forest, your confidence returns. However, instinct is still controlling your feet, and you break out into a run, not completely conscious of why. You feel raw, unexplainable fear, and your paranoia prevents you from looking back. You have one thought on your mind. When you lock your front door behind you, you will once again be safe. Or so you pray. Good evening and welcome to Small Town Shadows. I am your host, Victoria, and I am here to weave you a tale that is sure to send shivers down your spine. As always, the following account is based on real events. However, the names and locations have been changed to protect the privacy of those involved. Please keep in mind that these narratives are not for the faint of heart and may frighten or disturb you. But now, before you get too comfortable, you should go turn off your lights. It's time to relax, clear your mind, and sip some tea as I take you to the small town of Pucallpa, Peru. Omar closed his eyes for just a moment, leaning back in his chair with the unattainable desire to sleep the day away. It wasn't that his job as a park ranger was boring. He found his job most of the time fun and exciting, giving short tours and explaining the trails to eager explorers. But a growing component is complying with government demands, even if the requests go against the original laws set in place to protect the Amazon rainforest in Peru. He found this increasingly frustrating and draining, since these demands were usually followed up with countless meetings to discuss why Omar hadn't accomplished his task yet, or to argue why he shouldn't have done it, even though they required it. The politics of it all were driving Omar mad, and for the first time in 38 years, he began contemplating his resignation. Without opening his eyes, Omar pressed play again on the small, old-fashioned voicemail tape recorder, and a stern, robotic voice broke the silence.
Mr. Omar Chavez, it has come to our attention that you still have not performed the instructed task of widening the guest trail. This is a matter of great importance, since not doing so could result in severe injuries to hikers. We have already discussed with you what happened last month to the gentleman and his walking apparatus. Please execute this task as quickly as possible. This is not a request. Thank you.
The tape recorder stopped playing. Omar rubbed his eyes with frustration. I told that man if he couldn't move without his walker, then he can't do the trail. All over the welcome board it says not handicap friendly. It's his own damn fault for ignoring me and the signs. So now, because of him, I have to damage this beautiful place. It is a crime. Omar yelled in frustration to an empty room. He slammed his fist down on the desk
and then sighed in resignation. How am I supposed to protect this forest as just one person? The laws that were put in place centuries ago were supposed to do this job. Exasperated, Omar closed his eyes again. After a moment, he sighed, then rose to his feet. Rifling through a large filing cabinet, Omar quickly found a booklet of maps depicting the trails that he oversees in their Amazon rainforest. He then grabbed a pencil and measuring tape and headed out the door. As Omar made his way down the final narrow path, he double-checked his markings so as to avoid any unnecessary destruction of plant life. Jotting down the measurements and marking the map with clear notes of where and what to remove to widen the path just enough. The long walk back to the ranger station was slow going and quiet. Omar wanted to make sure he didn't miss any exposed routes or enticing off-trail paths. The storm, which had started a few hours ago, began to shower heavier raindrops down, and soon Omar was soaked through his raincoat and boots. This was nothing new or uncomfortable for him, since rain was nearly a daily occurrence in the rainforest. The thing that bothered Omar, giving him pause, was that there were no sounds save that of the thunder clapping all around him. The residents of the rainforest are accustomed to storms due to their frequency, so why then had they gone mute now? Step by precious step, Omar made his way back the way he came. As he stepped lightly, trying to make as little noise as possible, the hairs on the back of Omar's neck prickled, and then he heard it. Omar stopped walking. Turning his head to the left, closing his eyes, he strained his ears to make out the sound better. Goosebumps spread all over Omar's body. He didn't know why, but his heart began to race. He snapped his eyes back open, trying to spot the creature whistling at such a frequency. But he didn't hear the sound again, nor could he locate anything moving in his vicinity. The rain began to pelt him harder, and he decided he was being foolish. The forest is full of singing and whistling creatures. There was nothing different about this tune. He was just on edge because of his frustration with his job. That's all this was. Omar took off in a sprint, never looking back or pausing until he reached the dry, cool air of his office. Entering the ranger station, Omar quickly slammed and locked the door behind himself, more out of reflex rather than genuine caution. The thunder grew louder and the cracks came more frequently. The lightning dancing all around the cabin cut out the power, leaving Omar alone, dripping wet in the dark, deaf to the quiet, high-pitched whistling sound coming from the opposite side of the sealed door. This episode of Small Town Shadows is brought to you by Deerling Blends. There is simply nothing better than cozying up to watch your favorite TV show while sipping on a delicious, piping hot cup of tea. And what could be better than an all-organic, sustainable tea brand that gives back to charity with every purchase? There's nothing not to love about Deerling Blends. Check out their website for old favorites and fun new teas. And now back to Peru. The tape recorder flashed a red light, indicating a new voicemail. Omar sighed a deep, guttural sound, expressing his irritation, but pressing play all the same.
Mr. Omar Chavez, a crew of 7 men will be assisting you with the leveling of the hiking path. They will meet you at the ranger station by 5 a.m. Please be ready to execute this task swiftly. We do not have the time nor budget for any more delays. Thank you.
That all-too-familiar voice droned on, giving Omar an instant migraine. He reviewed his notes and set an alarm on his phone to be back here by 4:45 a.m. The power flickered on and off again a couple more times before Omar called it a night and headed home.
He'd need his rest, since tomorrow would dawn quicker than he'd like, and with it the imposed task of hacking away century-old lives that helped make the Amazon the breathtaking force it is today. Anderson tried to hide his yawn behind his hand as he listened to the park ranger drone on and on about how delicate the environment is and that they need to take extra care to not damage any plant life that he didn't specifically mark. This wasn't Anderson's first day on the job. He and his men have been landscaping protected parks for nearly a decade now. They were the task force called in when the government needs to break their own rules. Anderson and his crew swoop in, quickly and quietly, carry out the destruction of some ancient tree or preserved building before the public catch wind. By the time the news media are on the scene, the government has had time to come up with an airtight cover-up story. And that's that. No harm, no foul. It's not like Anderson is killing people, just stupid plants and buildings that some bleeding hearts arbitrarily decide are valuable. And from the sounds of it, this park ranger is one of those bleeding hearts. Such a shame he'll be forced into retirement by the end of the day. He seems to genuinely care about this place, but he dragged his feet, taking care of a problem the government tasked him to resolve, and now he's become a liability. Poor guy. At least his severance will buy his silence. Anderson scanned the room, making direct eye contact with each of his men, and accepting their subtle nods as understanding. They then gathered their tools and headed down the first path. The sun slowly crept higher and higher, and before long, the hiking paths inched wider and wider. As the sun made its descent, just as slowly, dipping lower and lower, the men began to feel the strain of their undertaking. Anderson and his men hadn't stopped to take a break because they knew the task at hand needed to be completed in one day, especially if they wanted the additional bonus. But by early afternoon, their momentum began to wane. Anderson motioned to the men to stop, removed their noise-canceling earmuffs, indicating they could take a break. Grateful for the respite, the seven of them sat down, chugging warm water, wiping their brows, and chatting about nonsense.
"Where do you think that ranger went?" Julio asked, looking around for their guide. "Do you think he'll mind if I eat the bag of chifles?"
"He went back to the office because he got a page that some tourist arrived, even though the trails are closed today. I'm sure he'll grab himself something to eat back there if he's hungry,"
Anderson answered without opening his eyes. Julio began eating the chips before Anderson even finished his sentence. The men fell into silence as they relaxed for a few more precious minutes. Closing their eyes and taking in the calming sounds of the rainforest, they didn't once think about the effects of their actions, just what they needed to do and when they needed to do it by.
"All right, guys, let's get this done," Anderson said, stretching, finishing off his bottle of water and patting Oscar on the back.
"What kind of bird makes that sound?" Lewis asked, noting the odd whistle he's heard a few times now.
"Who cares?"
Oscar rolled his eyes as he put his earmuffs on. Lewis ignored him, looking around, searching the treetops for any sign of what creature could be tweeting at them.
"Come on, Lewis. It's just some bird." Anderson nudged him. "Let's get this done so we can all be home for dinner sooner rather than later."
Lewis nodded, putting his earmuffs on as well. If he had waited a moment longer, he would have heard the sound come again, this time from right behind him. The forest grew denser the further the excavation team traveled, and it was getting more difficult to see as well. And unfortunately, the lamps and flashlights the crew had did little to help illuminate the area. But the men made do with what they had, loosely following Omar's directions, paying little attention to the wildlife they were evicting. As the sun began to set, Anderson decided they would cover more ground if they split up and finished their task that way. Lewis and Julio went up ahead to remove the remaining few trees. Oscar, Marco, and Diego circled around, cutting through the neighboring trails, leaving Anderson with Hector to retrace their steps and remove any overlooked roots. Luis and Julio were midway through hacking away a small tree when suddenly the two men were blinded by an unexpected fog. Luis ripped his earmuffs off just in time to hear Julio's blood-curdling scream. "Julio? What's going on?" Luis yelled. "Where are you?" He was waving his arms around, trying to feel where his friend was. Then his hand hit something cold and almost slimy. "What the?" he whispered, slowly retracting his hand. Then the hairs on the back of his neck stood on end as the peculiar whistling sound split the air. Pain, like nothing Luis has ever experienced before, shot through his arm. He screamed out, trying to stay conscious, but failing, falling to the ground and succumbing to his fate. Oscar whirled around, removing one of his earmuffs. He motioned to his buddies to stop walking, straining his ear to make sense of what he had just heard. Then he heard it again. A horrifying scream erupted from somewhere deep within the forest. Then all at once and unexpectedly, the three men were blinded by a heavy fog. The next thing Oscar heard was the odd whistle Luis had brought to his attention earlier. At that moment, something brushed past him. Recoiling backward, he tripped. But as he stretched out his arms to catch himself, something reached down for him, slashing at his hands. A cacophony of ear-splitting screams of anguish pierced through the heavy air, leaving Anderson and Hector unwittingly alone. Anderson once again motioned to Hector to remove his earmuffs.
"And that's a wrap. I'm sure the others have finished up too. I think we can head back to the ranger station now," he said while folding up the detailed map Omar had given him. Hector nodded, putting his earmuffs around his neck and bending down to tie his boot. But then, when he looked up again at Anderson, his face blanched. Stuttering, he scrambled back, away from Anderson.
"What's wrong? Are you okay?"
Anderson was bewildered, but following Hector's line of sight, he turned his head, cautiously. Blinking rapidly, Anderson had only a moment before his world was nothing but agony and darkness. He had come face to face with two huge yellow eyes above a wide, toothy grin, primed to take a ferocious bite out of its prey.
"Mr. Omar Chavez, it has come to our attention that the landscaping crew has not submitted their report, nor have we heard back from you regarding the status of the trails. These delays and blatant disregard do nothing but hurt your severance package. Please return our call straight away. Thank you."
The tape recorder stopped whirling as the monotonous voice hung up. The message echoed throughout the small ranger station, unheard by any living soul, save for the flies and maggots, now flitting and feasting upon the corpse of Mr. Omar Chavez.
Do you believe there is a malevolent spirit protecting ancient forests? Do you believe that removing any life, whether plant or creature, would mark you for death in the eyes of this guardian? Do you believe in El Tunchi? I'd love to hear what you think. Tell me your thoughts, theories, and experiences in the comments section below, and be sure to subscribe so that you can be properly spooked every Friday night. And on that note, sleep tight, and don't forget to check under your bed for any lurking guests.